Americans are getting taller and wider, and so are our houses. Since 1970, the size of the average new home in the U.S. has increased by 50%. It's a trend that has TV shows like ABC's program Extreme Makeover: Home Edition hammering the competition. A production of the show would make Cecil B. DeMille proud. In one episode, 1,000 workers transformed a modest home into a colossus. 6 bedrooms, 7 baths, 7 televisions for a family of 4. The program inspired Clara Jeffrey, deputy editor at Mother Jones Magazine, to compile a list of facts about this growing trend, and she joins me from San Francisco. Clara, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Bruce.
Well, I'm going to just read some of the statistics on your list that appear in the April issue of Mother Jones, and you call the annotation This New House. You write, since 1950, the average new house has increased by 1,247 square feet.
That's right. And meanwhile, the average household has shrunk by one person. So basically, we're getting a lot more house for a smaller family.
But 1,247 square feet, that's an increase. If you've got a 10 by 12 room, 120 square feet, that's 10 by 12 square foot rooms?
I'll leave the math to you. but what I will say is that an extra 1,200 square feet is, you know, quite a generous apartment size in a city like San Francisco or New York. I mean, you're considered pretty lucky if you have an apartment that size. So it's basically taking the house of old and adding, you know, an apartment-sized addition of rooms to it.
You have this item. The National Association of Home Builders Showcase Home for 2005 is 5,950 square feet, and that's 15% bigger than last year.
That's right. And actually, the one for next year is scheduled to be something over 8,000 square feet. So, you know, this is really, those are sort of the aspirational homes, but it's also a trend that they recognize that more and more people are building that big, and certainly more and more people would like to fantasize that they could have a house that big.
Okay, I'm going to list a couple of more stats from This New House, okay?
Yep.
More than 50% of ex-urban lots are 10 acres or more. Wow.
Yeah, and ex-urban homes now account, since 1994, they account for 80% of new residential development. So, you know, we're going further and further out. And I think, as to your question earlier, basically people can't afford a home that size in the city or the inner suburbs. So they go further and further out to sort of get the home that they want. And, you know, I think that they do so with sort of good intentions and wanting to provide a good house for themselves and their family and all that. But I think that it has a lot of impacts that people don't calculate. I mean, first of all, the commutes are just getting ridiculously long. The number of Americans with commutes longer than 90 minutes each way has increased 95% since 1990. And I think there's also a sort of psychological effect. In the sort of suburbs of the 50s that we see on the sitcoms, people knew their neighbors and they had a real community there, as many people do in the city. But in the exurbs, because you're commuting so long, because you're working longer hours to support the house, basically, you're less likely to know your neighbors or have any sort of ties to the community in which you live.
Okay, here's some more stats, okay? In 1950, one in 100 homes had 2.5 baths or more. Today, one in two.
Right, which I think people see as a big convenience. But what's interesting about those bathrooms is it's not just that there are more of them, but especially in the sort of luxury homes that are being built now, you know, they have things like these multiple shower head systems, which, while they feel lovely, can drain a hot water tank in 4 minutes, basically. There's so much water coming out of those things.
Here are a couple of facts that I found really fascinating. You write that sales of Sub-Zero and other premium and super premium refrigerators have been rising by 15% a year. So now we're eating more food and we've got our fancy places to store it. But here's the one that gets to me. The average cost of a luxury kitchen remodel is $57,000. And that's $10,000 more than it costs to build a typical Habitat for Humanity home. That's astonishing.
Yeah, to me, that's really the statistic that should really make us sort of rethink the way we're tending to live now. Because, you know, I mean, it's through these home improvement shows, you definitely see, you know, people wanting to build these very elaborate kitchens. Some of these people, you know, actually are good cooks and really cook. A lot of people are probably just bringing home takeout and sticking it in their Viking fridge.
I knew that people that lived in cities were much more fuel efficient and energy efficient than suburbanites. But I didn't realize just how much.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that people who live in cities use about half as much energy as suburbanites. Now, a lot of that is transportation.
But it seems fewer and fewer people can actually afford to live where they work or work where they live. You're in San Francisco, and you have a statistic here that only 2.7% of the city's teachers and 5.7% of its policemen can afford to buy a home there.
Right. And San Francisco is, I think, the worst in this regard, but the numbers are pretty startling even for sort of, you know, medium-sized cities in the Midwest. It's just, you know, we have a housing crisis going on. There's the housing bubble, which everyone is preoccupied by, but there's also just a lack of affordable housing.
You know, Clara, out here near the Boston area, we have a lot of places that have these old Victorian houses, and they're enormous. Mm-hmm. So this is not a new phenomenon.
That's right. There certainly were big houses built at the turn of the century and earlier. I mean, I think what's interesting to note is that, A, the family sizes were much bigger. Grandparents tended to still live with you. And also that there were servants living in some of those houses. You know, it was a different style. There have always been wealthy people. I think what is interesting now is how many people are buying enormous houses who are by no means wealthy and, you know, maybe not even in the upper middle class. And part of that is having low interest rates on mortgages right now and people doing things like in California now, 50% of all new mortgages are interest only, which means people are not paying any principal. And that could prove a real problem for them when interest rates rise.
Sure. When real estate goes south, you got to wonder what happens to this new house.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that when the housing market collapses, as I'm sure it will, in at least in some areas, you know, are some of these suburban tract mansions going to sit empty? I think as the tech bubble has taught us, you know, nothing this crazy can last forever.
Clara Jeffrey is deputy editor of Mother Jones Magazine.